Weekend Breakfast with Africa Malani on Cape Talk, your number one news and talk station.
Joined on the line now by attorney Tracy Lomax. Tracy, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
One of the stories in the Sunday Times today is the fact that Duduzani Zuma, who, as we know, is the son of President Jacob Zuma and very much embroiled in the various state capture allegations against not only the Zuma family, but the Gupta family and other officials, that he may very well consider turning state witness. And we're wondering this morning, Tracy, what would need to be satisfied legally and otherwise for the NPA to decide, okay, Duduzani Zuma, you can rather turn state witness, and in exchange for information, these are going to be the benefits you're going to enjoy.
Okay, I just want to preface this by saying that I haven't been following that case particularly closely, and I haven't read the article, so I'm going to answer in quite general terms. Section 204 of the Criminal Procedure Act allows the prosecutor to call a witness who will be giving evidence which is potentially self-incriminating. If they decide to do that, the court has to then warn the witness that he's obliged to give evidence at the proceedings. The questions may incriminate him, and he's obliged to answer them truthfully and fully. And if he answers frankly and honestly, then he may not be found guilty of those crimes. Whether the state will do it is probably more than anything a public policy consideration. We generally in this country don't allow criminals to avoid prosecution. So the NPA would only offer this sort of immunity to somebody if there was absolutely no other way to secure the guilt of the person against whom he's testifying. If there are other witnesses who could testify, there would be no need to give Duduzani Zuma immunity. I'm not familiar enough with the case. I don't know what other evidence the NPA has, but those would be the circumstances which would dictate it. And we also need to remember that even if the NPA does offer him immunity, the court can still find at the end of his testimony that he didn't make full and frank disclosure. And then that immunity would fall away.
As a South African, Tracy, I was saying earlier during this hour that if Duduzani Zuma, on the one hand, offers to pay back all the money, obviously, that he's ever taken out of state's coffers as well as state-owned enterprises, that's the one thing. And I know it's more of a moral thing as opposed to a legal thing. But his evidence has to be so strong that there is almost a 100% assurance of a conviction of whoever will be facing those charges. And here we're talking the Guptas. If his evidence leads to the Guptas being behind jail for quite a reasonable amount of time, as a South African, I'd go, okay, give him whatever benefits come with being a state witness.
Yeah, I think a lot of people might feel that way because there's this perception that he is at least South African and the Guptas are foreign nationals who've come in and looted from the country. But the public policy considerations treat all accused people equally. If he is guilty of a crime, generally it's not our policy to allow people to get off. So I hear your argument and I agree with it, but I would add, I would only be happy if there were no other way for the Guptas to be found guilty. I would not be happy for somebody who's equally complicit in the crime to simply turn state witness in order to avoid culpability. I don't think that is the intention of the section, and I don't think that's something we should encourage.
No, fair enough. And I mean, I certainly take your point at the beginning of this conversation that you have not followed this case particularly, but there certainly seems to be enough from the media reporting, from the Gupta leaks and all of that, to suggest that the NPA would be able to actually present a very strong case to the various courts in South Africa that may result in a successful prosecution, even if Duduzani Zuma was not to turn state witness.
Yeah, and I think there's probably quite a strong paper trail regarding payments made and received and we have certain acts which prohibit conduct, and if and very often that's strict liability. So if they've flouted both legislation, then they're guilty of the crime. And I don't know that you necessarily, I don't think you're dealing with an instance where you need the inside man, you need the whistleblower. I think these instances of corruption are so broad and so generalized that you don't need the whistleblower. There's too many other people who can testify as to money moving around and that sort of thing.
We, I suppose, more au fait with following, you know, cases of murder or those kind of criminal elements. How difficult is it to successfully prosecute issues pertaining corruption and money laundering and racketeering?
All of it is going to depend on what kind of hard evidence you have. I'm not a specialist in RICO or POCA, so I can't really. I've never defended an action like that, but it's much like with any trial where we're dealing with payments made and received. As long as it's not cash under the table, there should be a paper trail for money being paid out. And if that is the case, then it should be relatively easy to prosecute. It's going to be a lengthy prosecution, and it's going to be a very technical prosecution. But I think the evidence is probably there.
Would the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture that will be headed up by the Deputy Chief Justice Zondo be of any use at all to the NPA when it comes to actually levelling charges against or presenting a court case, in fact? Would they be able to use some of the evidence that has come out of that commission?
Yes, I think they would. And what will probably happen at the end of that inquiry is the judge will refer his findings to the NPA. You see that often in civil actions where the judges form the view that there is criminal activity that needs to be investigated. They will refer their judgment to the National Prosecuting Authority for them to take further. So I would imagine at the end of the state capture inquiry, that same recommendation will be made.
Tracy, thank you very much for those insights. Certainly, I've learned something new about the legal process in South Africa. Tracy Lomax is an attorney joining us on the line there to explain to us what would be the conditions that would need to be met for the NPA to consider state witness. And it is actually good to hear that in South Africa, we generally do not desire for a criminal to get away with any criminal actions. I love that. I love that bit. The NPA would have to have absolutely no other source of evidence to enable it to successfully prosecute the Guptas in this case, for example, for them to even consider Duduzani Zuma as a state witness.